I'm going to read from Psalm 107. Throughout this psalm, there's a theme. And it's good for us to know, because it's the will of the Lord to always give thanks. And that's a theme throughout this psalm. And I just want to read from verse 4. It says, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." If you ever find yourself wandering in the wilderness in a desolate way, I don't know, that could look, I don't know how that can feel inside. You can feel dry or empty or it's lost. And it says that they were hungry and thirsty and their soul fainted within them. They just lost all their own strength. But when you come to that place, you cry out to the Lord. And that's a theme also. It says multiple times here, they cried out to the Lord, they cried out to the Lord, they cried out to the Lord. And the Lord brought them out, delivered them, saved them. And we have to remember that it's good to give thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks is glorifying God. And it says here in this next verse, this is the verse that kind of came to me this morning, that he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. It's good to have a longing soul and a hungry soul. When it says that if we hunger, we will be filled. Right? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. They shall be filled. We need that hunger. We need that longing. And if we have that hunger and that longing for Jesus, for his Holy Spirit, for his presence, for more of him in our lives, for more of his character and his nature, it says he will satisfy us. We will be satisfied. We will lack no good thing. What good thing would we want more than his character and his presence in our lives? He satisfies the longing soul and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. That's a promise. If we are feeling a lack, if we're feeling a wandering, if we're feeling a bondage, if we're a slave of something, cry out to the Lord and he will deliver and he will save. And he will always fill the hungry soul with goodness. That's a promise. Now it says here, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Now why would they be there? They're sitting in darkness. They're bound in affliction and irons. They're slaves. They're in bondage. Why is that? Because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsels of the Most High. That's really why people sit in darkness. They don't want to come to the light. They don't want to hear his word or hear correction and turn. You know, the Israelites were bound there in Egypt there, making brick with little straw, and they were just slaves there, and they cried out, and the Lord heard, and he delivered them. He brought them out by Moses, and they came to the Red Sea, and they complained immediately. Oh, you brought us out, now we're going to die here. And I went through years back. I just saw this morning. I have little numbers, and I was like, what are those numbers in my Bible all throughout the Exodus and Numbers? And every time the Israelites complained, I put a little mark, 1, 2, 3, and I got all the way up to 8. I probably maybe missed some, but there was a lot of times that they grumbled and complained. Isn't that the opposite of, oh, give thanks to the Lord? You know, sometimes we cry out, he delivers us from a situation, from a bondage, or brings us out, and then we come to another trial, another test. What comes out? Is it grumbling again? And the Lord takes grumbling, complaining very seriously, and I think we need to know the severity of that. Because there was a time that the Israelites grumbled and complained, and fire burned on the outskirts and consumed some of the people. And that really reminds me of how the tongue can be like a fire, right? It's like a spark, and it sets a whole course on fire. And it really destroys people, destroys our own lives when our tongue is complaining and grumbling. It says in the Philippians, do all things without complaining or disputing. Everything without complaining or disputing. That we might be blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in this crooked, in the midst of this crooked generation, that we might shine as lights. How are we going to shine as lights if we're grumbling, complaining with our fellow workers about the circumstances, about our pay, about our wages, you know, about this and that? There's a lot, it's around us all the time. And if we're just joining in with the grumbling, complaining, how are we going to shine? How are we any different? And, you know, it's a serious thing. And I want to say that we can think about it as, you know, that we can speak by the Spirit of God. Words can come out of our mouth that are from the Word of God, from God. And that's speaking by His Spirit. But you know that we can also speak according to the flesh? It's coming out of our own heart. When we speak according to the flesh, what spirit is that of? It's not by the Holy Spirit. So think about, what spirit is that? It's from the prince of the power of the air. Okay, so look at Peter. When Peter, we're talking about Peter this morning, when he said, Lord, you shall not go to that cross. You know, that shall never happen to you. Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. And he spoke at Peter. He was looking at Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So when we're mindful only of the things of men and we speak according to that, we're speaking according to the, not by the Holy Spirit. So some people twist that verse or say, oh yeah, that shows that he was, you know, Peter had demons there. No, Christians cannot have demons. Christians can't be filled with demons. If you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, filled with His Spirit, there's no demon there. But we can still speak according to the flesh. And when we do that, we're speaking according to His words. So we need to be very careful. And grumbling and complaining is not from the Spirit of God. And it's serious. So it's good to give thanks. It says here, back in Psalm 107, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Rebellion in the heart of men is witchcraft. Saul had that rebellion, and Samuel said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So we see rebellion, and often you can see rebellion in the little ones, but can we see it in our own lives when there's a rebellious spirit there? We got to see rebellion as a serious thing. When we're rebelling against what authority or a boss or our own family members or against God, that rebellion is like witchcraft. We know witchcraft is wrong. We can see that. Yeah, that's from the devil. But can we see rebellion as from the devil? So grumbling, complaining is rebellion. When we complain, it's rebellious. It's a rebellious heart, and so we don't want to have that sin in our lives. We want to give thanks in everything. Do you know that's the will of God? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I've shared this many times, but my natural instinct, my nature is to be a grumbler. That is what my flesh likes to do. And I was more like that before I was saved. Before I was born again, but it's still a tendency, and those thoughts can come. And so I have to examine my own heart and say, Lord, help me not to grumble about the squeaky furnace. You know, it bothers me, and I want to grumble about it because it's distracting. But then I can think, oh, I'm thankful that it's warmer today than last week because the furnace was fixed. And so you see how you can focus on the negative all the time. You know, it's good to build up our family, build up our wives and our husbands. The flesh is always easy to pick up the negative things. But what about the 100 wonderful things and don't see the negative and grumble about that thing? Someone in the midst of our children, you know, one of the children one day wrote a note for all the other children and mom and dad. And put it on her pillows. And everyone went to bed and saw a wonderful note of building us up. And a child did that. And everyone was encouraged. Everyone was smiling. Everyone was built up. Because someone took the time to write a note of what they were thankful for about that person. And that was very touching for me. And so one day I was at work and I thought, I want to do that for my kids too. And because often I can pick out the negative things and it's the things they need to work on. And so I sat down and I wrote everything that I could think, like things I could think of that would build them up and that I could see that were encouraging and that I loved about them. And put that on their pillows. And I believe they really enjoyed that because we need to build up our family, build up our children, sow into them good things. Not just the correction all the time, there's correction, but not just focusing on the negative, but build them up. Give thanks for them. Giving thanks for one another, for our body. You know, we can look at one another and think of the things that, oh, that guy needs to work on that. You know, that you see different things, but be an encourager. Be an encourager one to another. It says in verse 12, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them. We sing the song, your word to heal me, your breath will raise me from the dead. It's his word that heals us when we believe his word. Verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. It's a theme throughout. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of praise. We're supposed to bring that, the sacrifice of our lips, sacrifice of praise. And the next time when we're tempted to grumble and complain, remember, think about what spirit is that of? And to instead start to give thanks. And if it's not genuine, do it in faith and pray, Lord, make this a genuine thanks. Change my heart. And don't let those grumbles come out of the mouth. They might come into the mind. Don't let them come out. Catch them right there before they get out. You think of the 10 lepers, and there's a distinction between one and the 10. All of them were healed of their leprosy. Right? They're all healed. One came back, glorifying God, giving him thanks. And he said, where are the others? And Jesus said, is this the only one, the Samaritan who came back to give thanks? And he says, go your way. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has made you well. And there's a difference there. All were healed of their physical affliction, but one was saved. It's better to be saved than to be healed. It's better to be saved. So giving thanks is a fruit of salvation. It's a fruit of salvation. Let's remember that this week and continue to remember it and take it to heart. And let us offer the sacrifices of praise to our God and build one another up in our most holy faith. Amen.